And good evening, and welcome, children of the stars, to another evening of Cosmic Radio here on the BBS. Now, tonight, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're not going to discuss the stars, and we must all remember that each and every one of us is from the stars, but we do reside here on planet Earth. We are going to discuss a few things myself along with my guest tonight. We're going to enlighten you on what is happening on the North American continent, on both borders, USA and Canada. In a few seconds, I will be joined by my friend Marty Cobanese. Marty is from the Red Lake Ojibwa Nation. He is a member of the Indigenous Environmental Network and a champion pipeline fighter. I call him a great warrior for Mother Earth. Some of you may be scratching your head right now going, what is a pipeline fighter? I'm talking about Keystone Pipeline, which starts in Canada and plows its way through our country, leaving a trail of pollution and desecration to our planet. Now, you're not going to hear much about this on mainstream media. There's a few media outlets that will touch on this. But you may have heard of a movement going on right now called Idle No More. What is Idle No More? Well, Idle No More, it was a grassroots movement that was localized up in Canada, but it is gaining speed globally, and it's not just happening in Canada. First and foremost, this movement is about protecting Mother Earth for all people, from the greedy, shameless, capitalistic corporations that want to continue to exploit and extract every last bit of resource that this land has. Therefore, anybody who cares about this planet should be interested in this movement. Now, the original engineers of this movement are Nina Wilson, Sheila McLean, Sylvia McAdam, and Jessica Gordon. This all started in a response to Canada's bill called C-45, and this is with the Prime Minister, I believe his name is Harper. What this bill does is it overhauls the Navigable Waters Protection Act and removes protection for many waterways throughout the First Nation in Canada. Changing this protection and the navigation of these waterways will indeed affect many, many lakes in Canada. Now, instead of 30,000 plus lakes being protected under the old act, only 97 lakes in the entire country of Canada will be protected. And that is an atrocity, in my opinion. If this is not a native thing, this is not a white thing. It's an indigenous worldview thing. It's a protect the earth thing. And once again, if those of you out there that are transfixed on race, you're kind of missing the entire concept here. Not that I really have a whole lot of listeners out there that are transfixed on race, or you wouldn't be listening to me tonight. That brings me to my guest, who is a great warrior on this side of the border in the United States with the Keystone Pipeline, my friend Marty Cobanese. Good evening, Marty.
Good evening, Linda.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good.
Wonderful. Now, I've had you on my show before, but I was at another residence then, and this gives me the opportunity to take this issue globally, as we do have many people listening to us tonight from other parts of the world, overseas, Europe, Asia. And so I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to enlighten the people who don't know what's going on about what is happening, not just in Canada, but in the United States with whether it's Keystone Pipeline or Trans-Canada and the tar sands. These are major issues that I think are quietly being put under the table so that we don't become awake and aware. Marty, could you just tell me a little bit about this Indigenous Environmental Network?
Oh, yeah, it has been around since 1990. We were basically work with grassroots Native or with Native groups in the United States and Canada. We work on a wide variety of different issues, from working with Indigenous rights issues in the UN to food sovereignty to energy issues, all the way down to what I do is work against pipelines.
Okay. Very good. Now, when I had you on air last year sometime, I actually found some of my old notes from that radio show, and I'm not going to go over too much of the old notes, but I know that they're still fighting this battle. I see it every day on the news affiliates that I'm, you know, connected to through Facebook, and there were some incidences last year on the Pine Ridge Reservation with these pipelines being transferred through the trucks, through the reservations, knocking down everything in sight, moving people off the road to get to where they had to get to. How can more people get involved in this movement? How can more people help? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that care about our planet.
Well, there's lots of different ways to get involved. There's lots of wide variety of groups that are fighting this, from Bill McGibbons, 350.org, to Tar Sands Blockade, Bold Nebraska, Sierra Club. All the big NGOs are fighting this. There's several different ways to get involved. You know, we've done actions in Washington, D.C., where people have been arrested, which, incidentally, there is another one coming up in February 17th over President's Day weekend, where there will be an action before, but what we're also looking at is doing a rally on the 17th in front of the White House. We're trying to get at least 20,000 people at that event.
All right.
So, yeah, there's lots of different ways.
All right, so anybody out there in the D.C. area or on the East Coast or anywhere and you want to get involved in this on February 17th in front of the White House, there will be a movement for this issue. Now, Marty, I wanted to talk to you. I touched base on this last year. The pipelines that is going through, especially in the Midlands, the Middle America, it's affecting, I have a map here, it's affecting many states, and a lot of it is going right through native land. My understanding is this is going to affect, I believe it's called the Ogallala Sioux Aquifer. Am I correct in saying that?
It's the Ogallala Aquifer. That covers from all the way up from South Dakota all the way down to Texas and out to Colorado even. So it's a very large aquifer.
And I think my understanding is it provides water for like 2.4 million people in that region, which if there was ever an accident, and there's always going to be an accident when we're dealing with these types of things, that would have a serious, not just for the planet, but for the people as well, with water pollution, wouldn't you say?
Oh, most definitely. As Vice President Tom Porter of the Ogallala Sioux said at the Nebraska DEQ hearing just a couple weeks ago, or beginning of December now, he said oil is oil. Doesn't matter where it comes from. As long as it hits the water, it's going to contaminate the water. Plain and simple, you know. Oil and water don't mix. We've learned that a long time ago.
Absolutely. When we had the 2010 Gulf spill, I sat there and I said, you know, this is going to change the waters of our ocean, and we'll see the repercussions of it, not next year or the year before, but 5 to 10 years later. And they're already seeing horrible things happening under the water, you know, fish being born with three eyes and fish being born with one, you know, just very mutilated life form living under the ocean now because of all the toxicity that's in there. This is a major issue, and I've read so many different stories, I just don't know where to begin. Now, I do want to...
Well, even at the other end of the pipeline, where in Alberta, in northern Alberta, where the tar sands are at, you also have the same mutations in the water with the fish having tumors and having two jaws, and their natural way of life, of survival, and their subsistence foods, muskrats, beavers, those are all gone. There's no more of those around for the people up there to as their natural foods. So, you know, it's not... Oil is still going to be oil, like we just said.
Right.
It's going to destroy whatever it gets in contact with. You know, there's enough different spills around the U.S. Kalamazoo, Michigan, Exxon Valdez, BP. Yeah. You know, there's always different things that show that oil's not our save-all by any means.
No, and I've read articles about a lot of the natives up in Canada that are experiencing very rare forms of liver cancer and various different types of cancer that are very, very rare, but they're happening because they're polluting their land. And it has to stop. There has to be more people being aware of this. If anyone out there wants to call in, I'm going to throw out the number. It's 1-888-627-6008, and that is a toll-free number. If any of you out there are involved with the Idle No More movement, please give us a call. We'd love to hear your voice here on the BBS. Now, Marty, let me ask you something. In regards to this situation going on, I've been told by people that are really involved in this movement that down in Texas, they're taking away land from people as eminent domain. Is that true?
That is true. They've used eminent domain all through the entire states that they've ever gone through. Even with TransCanada alone, they've done it in Montana and South Dakota and Nebraska. Kansas before with the original Keystone One pipeline, Oklahoma, Texas. You have, that is their way of bullying their way through is what they do. It's, we're going to pay you as little as possible and we're going to give you, we're going to take away your land and the government's going to back us, you know. If you ever want to hear, you know, and I say this all the time, is the farmers and ranchers along this route and any pipeline route are the, and who have to have eminent domain against them for anything, is they're the modern-day Indians. You know, when you really think about it, their land's being taken away for pennies on the dollar by a foreign company and backed by the U.S. government. That is exactly what happens to natives. This is what is happening now to the local people and farmers and ranchers.
It's very sad. I've read some articles where there's people that have had farms that have been handed down from generation to generation, and there's nothing that they can do. What is our president doing? Is he helping at all in this situation, or is he just drawing a blind eye to it as usual?
Well, he did stand up for it, in, you know, last year, a little bit over a year ago, actually a year and 2 days ago. And he did deny the original Keystone XL pipeline application. But since then, the TransCanada split the pipeline in two, from a southern portion to a northern portion. So from Cushing, Oklahoma, down to Texas, down to Port Arthur in Houston. He's actually went out to Cushing, Oklahoma, and made a big announcement saying that he's going to fast-track this. And that's really what happened. It didn't require a presidential permit, so it really just fell onto the hands of Texas and Oklahoma governments to pass permits.
To pass this pipeline from Cushing to Port Arthur, correct?
Right. So he really didn't do anything to help us on this route in that case, to which now the northern portion is still up. The application is in process. The Nebraska DEQ has just recently submitted their proposal and recommendation to the governor of Nebraska about if this is a safe route and everything else, which it really isn't. I mean, even that's a flawed process, from different elements not being even covered. Bald eagles. I mean, one of the landowners has bald eagles, and that's on his land, and basically they never even looked at that. To the tribal issues of, in their report, they said that they were going to follow NEPA and Section 106 processes, and then they never did. They have not done a NEPA process along that entire new route yet, saying that it's onto the State Department to do that in their EIS, which then says we didn't do it in the DEQ, even though we were supposed to do that in the DEQ. You know, and so that whole application process is even just very messed up.
Wow. That's just heartbreaking to hear that this is happening. And I don't think people You know, there was an article, Marty, and it's called Indian Country. I don't know if it's .org or .com. I got a lot of my information broadcasting tonight from there. And there was an article called Idle No More for Dummies. I laughed. It was a little patronizing, but I laughed because it's so true. I mean, there's so many people out there that don't realize that we're all going to be affected by this, whether we live in California or we live in New York. Sometimes I think we have the United States is more infatuated with entertainment than getting the facts. We want to be entertained. We don't want to be enlightened and educated on what's going on. But I think the population, they have to start waking up because this is going to affect all of us, not just the Midlands where this is taking place, but eventually pollution is pollution and it grows and it gets bigger and bigger. The Indigenous Environmental Network, is that based in a certain area or are there different chapters throughout the United States?
IEN is based out of Bemidji, Minnesota, northern Minnesota. We have 5 full-time staff. We're a very small organization. We're very global in our efforts. We deal with everything all over. We have other affiliates that we work with, but there really are only 5 staff. We don't have a paid membership or anything else like that as far as our group. So someone can't say, "Well, I want to be a member of IEN." Like you can become a member of the Sierra Club. We're a grassroots organization. That's really what it is. You know, we work with people that are on the ground, and basically we work on the ground.
Right.
If there's an issue, we're there. We're not somewhere else talking to someone. We're there on the ground with them. So, you know, I've driven this pipeline route twice now. So I know people up and down along the entire route. You sit and talk about Native issues and stuff with this. You know, you have the Lakota Sioux with the Minnewachone water pipeline in South Dakota. In Nebraska, you have the Ponca Trail of Tears. You have the Pawnee Trail of Tears. It's amazing to sit and watch and go onto the landowners' land that allow us onto their land and say, "Go for it. Find something. Find sacred sites on our land." Just so we can get this land, so we don't have this pipeline come through our lands. You know, that's pretty powerful, and you don't necessarily get that without being out on the land.
That is powerful. Now, let me make sure I heard this correctly. So the pipelines that go through these states and they go through these reservations, if it's on sacred land, then there's actually a battle to be won. Is that my understanding? Because it's sacred land.
They can change. If you can prove, you know, and show that there's sacred sites along the route, they will move the pipeline route, but they normally will only just move it. It's not going to normally stop them. You know, case in point, down in Texas, there's a landowner down there, Julia Crawford, and she has tons and tons of artifacts along the river, the Red River that separates Oklahoma and Texas. The Caddo Nation has a well-known historical site there along the river that was their trading area. And they have a book and everything else published about this area, but yet the Caddo Nation still signed an agreement and they didn't stand up for their land and for their artifacts. There's different things. You know, if you find a body along the route, they stop production, which sounds good and everything. But once the body's been disturbed, they do a Class 2 dig, which covers the entire area to see if there's any more bodies. Once that's done, it's no longer eligible to be put on the National Register. So they take the bodies out of the area. They identify them if they're Native, non-Native. Depending on if they are Native, they go to a tribe has to claim them and then rebury them. If it's a non-Native and no one claims them or a family member does claim them, they have to rebury them. But if it's they go unclaimed in the unnative way, like in Nebraska they did in the Keystone One pipeline, those bodies just went to the National Historical Society, and the pipeline still went through its original plane. So you know, you have these different rules in NAGPRA and stuff like that that are supposed to be protecting sacred sites, but in reality, there's ways around us, and unfortunately, these companies know all of them.
That's awful, and I'm sure different rules apply to different states, right? I mean, every state has their own public government, I guess.
To a point, but it's still under national interest.
Okay.
So if it's sacred sites, they still kind of go under the same guise. So I mean, it's really a crap game to, you know, of what you're going to roll on and try and figure out where this is. You know, and unfortunately, you know, when you look at the Midwest, you know, South Dakota all the way down, that was a large number of tribes, even in just Nebraska, that owned property, that owned the land, that claimed that as their hunting rights and fishing and everything else, and where they survived. So, I mean, you have, like, even the Pawnee tribe, they had 20,000 people in their tribe before they got moved down to Oklahoma. When they got moved to Oklahoma, there's 700 left. What happened to the other 19,300? They died along the route. Prove it. You know, there's a lot of bodies along from Nebraska down to Oklahoma. Same with even the Ponca tribe with their Trail of Tears. They started out with 280 members. Then when they got to Oklahoma, they had 140 left. You know, bodies all along that route, not necessarily saying where they're at. You have in Sac and Fox a large number of mass grave somewhere unmarked that even the tribes don't know that were buried from smallpox. They all died from the smallpox disease. Yet this pipeline is still going through that area, in the general area of where this mass grave is at.
Nice. Our government gives them smallpox, and to add insult to injury, they desecrate the graves as well. That's just nice. That's awful. Oh, God, Marty. Is there a website people can go for your the Indigenous Environmental Network that people can check out or not?
Yeah, there is. You can go to our website. It's www.ienearth.org. We are undergoing some changes right now between how we format our page. So we are in the process of changing over. So please be nice to us and be careful. And
That's okay. I'm undergoing changes to my website, too, and it's down. And I've told my listeners to just be patient. So everyone is updating and building and rebuilding websites, and it's all good. So maybe in the next couple of weeks or a month or so, it'll be up and running?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. But we're going into, like, even, like, the blogging format and stuff like that. So it's going to take a little bit, even for, you know, for me to learn how to blog. I'm not a blogger. I'm a Facebooker, but I'm not a blogger.
I'm not a blogger either. I am a Facebooker, but I do not do the blog, and that's one of the reasons I broke down my website. There's no point for paying extra for blogging when you don't blog. It just doesn't make any sense. I did want to talk to you a little bit. You and I had talked earlier today about covering some certain areas. You mentioned INM, and we talked about Keystone Enbridge. You said this all needs to be covered, so I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about this. Obviously, okay. You're a little more educated on this than I am, so go for it.
All right. Well, Enbridge Pipeline is one of the largest oil pipelines in the world for crude oil. TransCanada is more into natural gas, and they now have one working, halfway working, I guess, would be the best way to say it. Keystone One pipeline that's had numerous leaks in the first year. They've been shut down and everything else. So I don't know if they actually have a real working pipeline yet. But you have Enbridge that goes all across the United States. They come in through North Dakota, and that's their main lines. They come through northern Minnesota. Right in my backyard, we have six pipelines within 2 miles of my house right now. You know, they carry 1.2 million barrels of oil down these pipelines every day. The largest being the Alberta Clipper. That was just completed, 36-inch pipeline. That was completed in 2009 and went into operations in 2010. But now that one carries 440,000 barrels of pipe of oil, tar sand specific oil, every day. But they're asking to expand that now, and from 440,000 barrels to 570,000 barrels a day, with the plan to go up to the maximum amount that they can in this pipeline is 800,000 barrels per day, is what they're planning on going for in the future. Why this is important for Idle No More, why this is important for a lot of different things, is that Enbridge now has pipelines that go from Houston, Texas, up to Cushing, called the Seaway. They're reversing that pipeline, so it's going to go from Cushing down to Texas. So it's going to be an export pipeline. There's another pipeline from Cushing up to Chicago that currently flows north. They're seeking approval to reverse that pipeline also. So from Chicago down to Cushing, Oklahoma, then down to the Gulf Coast.
This
is working is that all these pipelines that are in northern Minnesota go through Superior, Wisconsin, and then they veer off. Four of them go down to Chicago, two of them go around the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and over to Detroit. The ones that go down to Chicago go to Chicago, but then also go back up to Detroit, Michigan, too. From there, from Sarnia, Ontario, on the other side of the border from Detroit, there's another pipeline called Line 9, which they are trying that goes currently from Portland, Maine, down to Sarnia, Ontario, as flowing inland. They want to reverse that pipeline from Sarnia to flow east to the East Coast. So what they really want to do is increase the amount of oil that goes through northern Minnesota to supply these other pipelines, so that they can get these oils out to the world market. That is Canada's main goal with any of this oil, is to get it to the world market, because right now they don't get world market prices for this oil. So that is what they want to do to increase the revenue of Canada.
How
this is important to us is that, is that in Minnesota we have three tribes that this pipeline actually runs through their tribes. We're in Keystone, and Keystone XL, they don't actually run through the reservation boundaries themselves. They run through treaty lands and stuff like that, and historical lands. But in Minnesota, they actually run through the Red Lake Reservation, the Leech Lake Reservation, and the Fond du Lac Reservation. The funny thing is that with Fond du Lac and Leech Lake, they've always had agreements and easements with the pipeline company. Red Lake has never had a contract with Enbridge Pipeline or Lakehead Pipeline, who they bought it from. There's been pipes on Red Lake land, ceded lands, since 1949, and there's never been a contract. And now they want to negotiate with the tribe. My belief with sovereignty is that the Red Lake Nation should be able to say, you owe us this amount of money, you need to move your pipelines off of our land, and you have so many days to do it. End of negotiations. You still owe us this money for this 62 years of trespassing on our land illegally. Now it is time for you to go. Red Lake has also passed a tribal resolution about and supporting Idle No More. If the tribe is truly, truly backing their resolution, they need to do exactly what I just said, is tell Enbridge no, kick them off their lands, and make them move their pipelines. How this supports Idle No More is that, one, it will stop the pipelines. It takes them 9 months to a year to get the approval process to get oil through the pipelines. That is the number one thing. We need to stop those pipelines. The other tribes, Leech Lake and Fond du Lac, also can say no to the pipelines, to this expansion. And the tribe, I believe that the state and the federal government are going to have to seriously listen to what the tribes have to say in this amount. So the tribe, Leech Lake and Fond du Lac, both have resolutions supporting Idle No More also. If they truly stand up for what they believe in, they will say no to this expansion. That will not allow the expansion to increase in Canada, and they won't be able to destroy more land up there. That is what Idle No More is all about, is that, you know, you talked about the number of lakes, the water quality, the amount of water that uses for the tar sands to change the tar sands into bitumen is takes 4 barrels of water to make 1 barrel of oil. You know, that's a large amount.
That is a large amount of water.
That is why these tribes or the government wants the government or the have the water quality lowered, and they want to be able to really control their water up there.
Well, there was a snide remark made by, I'm going to quote her right now. Where is it? She is part of Parliament. She is, her name is Christy Duncan, and she eloquently said, "The days when Canada takes an endless abundance of fresh water for granted are numbered, but it's okay for Trans-Canada." I'm adding this in. She didn't say this part. "But it's okay for Trans-Canada tar sands to use as much water as they wish to continue to rape this planet of our natural resources." Marty, my dad, even though I'm non-native, my dad was non-native. My dad came from Vancouver, British Columbia. And one of the things he always talked about was how beautiful his country was. How beautiful the lakes where you could go fishing and you could go hunting and the natural beauty of it. And it's luckily I'm glad he's not alive to see this, or he'd be marching right along with them up there in Canada right now. There have been reports, excuse me, there have been reports, just like here in the United States, same with Canada, that people that are protesting are, you know, the police forces are abusing them, blocking them from getting to, from one place to another. I'm connected with several on Facebook, and I get to hear the atrocities every day. And it's just really sad that I guess it doesn't matter what border we're on. Our politicians will always sell out to big corporate oil. It's all about money and nothing else.
Totally agree with you. Capitalism at its greatest. That's what America and Canada live on.
Yeah, Canada is not much different from the United States. I reported about how much money John Boehner gets in kickbacks. He's just one of many of our Congress and senators here that get kickbacks from these big oil companies. And they just draw a blind eye to it because, what, it's not in their backyard. It doesn't affect them. But it affects everyday people. And that's, you know, basically why my kids were asking me, why are you so involved in this? And I said, well, you know, it really has nothing to do with my generation right now, but it has everything to do with my daughter's children, grandchildren, generations down the road. Every child, regardless what color we are, has a right to clean water. And if this continues, there won't be anything left. We're going to die off. They're killing us slowly. And I know the plight of the Native Americans have had to deal with this for 500 plus years. What can more people do to get involved? You know, protest is that I don't hear of anything here in my part of the world, here in California. It just doesn't seem like people care that much, which is kind of sad.
Well, there's been, I mean, there are I Don't Know More Facebook pages and stuff like that, the official pages, mm-hmm. that talk a lot about different events that are going on. As far as the I Don't Know More events, a lot of round dances and stuff like that, but just kind of a flash mob type of deal.
Now, isn't there one coming up in your neck of the woods here in Yanktown? Is Yanktown in your neck of the woods, or am I?
Yankton Sioux Tribe. It's the Yankton Sioux Reservation. Okay. We're actually going down there and working with and being a part of that in that starting on Wednesday through Friday.
Okay.
And what we're going to be talking about is there's a peace treaty between the Yankton and the Lakota with the Pawnee, because they used to be great warriors and have massive fights. There's a peace treaty drawn up by the government, and now, you know, we're saying, you know, that the government is actually violating this treaty. But the main part of what we're talking about at this meeting is to try and create some type of an international document that is going to combine a whole wide of a range of different documents that have been written, the Fraser Declaration, the Spiritual Leaders Declaration. connection to the Mother Earth Accord that was created by IEN down in the Rosebud Reservation. You know, those, there's three great different documents right there alone, and then you also have the United Nations Indigenous Rights. You know, there's lots of different things here that are going to be happening down in Yankton this week. And all these documents are going to have to be brought together and talked about. With that, we'll have the non-native, the Nebraska farmers and ranchers coming up and talking, being a part of all this. So it's not, you know, it's more on building unity between all of our, all of the people along this, and really supporting the tribes up in Canada, where this, the greatest destructive entity, the tar sands, is taking place and destroying the land at unmeasurable amounts of rate. You know, the mining issues is going to be the size of the state of Florida. You know, that's huge. You know, if we just dug up Florida, you know, I think someone would notice that. But once in Canada, you don't seem to notice those type of things. You know, the tailing ponds in Canada leak into the rivers. The government just came out with a release of a study the other day that showed that 50 miles downstream, there's still pollution 2 to 23 times the legal limits allowable. But that was also pre-C-45. I don't know where they're at right now, if there even legal limits are on that river.
Oh, wow. Well, I know if you go to Google Earth, anyone out there who, you know, wants to get a little more information, I highly suggest you go to Facebook and join Supporting South Dakota Reservations. It doesn't just talk about South Dakota, but all nations globally, all indigenous people. It talks about everything that's going on. But if you go to Google Earth and you type in this, I got it from Supporting South Dakota Reservations, and it's a latitude and longitude that you type in. Once you see it visually on Google Earth, it's horrible to see. You take a picture from before and what's going on now, and it's horrible. It makes me cry. I can't. It's just so heartbreaking to see once beautiful, lush, green land with it just desecrated. It's horrible. More has to be done, and I'm actually kind of disappointed we didn't have any callers tonight. I'm starting to think Sunday night's not the greatest night for radio. But if anyone wants to call in, once again, 1-888-627-6008. That is a toll-free number for both the United States and Canada. Is there anything else you wanted to add to the conversation, Marty, about other issues and anything else we could talk about?
Well, I think even with the C-45 bill, you know, I've made the parallel between Mexico and the way they treat the indigenous people, the way they treat their lands. And, you know, they just destroy a lot of their lands for money. And so if you're doing that, they're really kind of along the same wavelength as what Canada's doing right now. Only, you know, Canada or Mexico is much further along, you know, with their disrespect for women and everything else like that. You know, that's part of what C-45 does also, is reduces indigenous rights. And so, you know, there's one of the unforeseen deals that I'm going to just kind of stray on here a little bit is the number of missing Native women that happen every day in Canada that are normally, that can be traced into, and I've heard stories of being drugged and moved from one part of the country to another part of the country and basically be sold into prostitution, if not being killed. You know, those type of stories that we don't hear down in mainstream America. The other thing is, why isn't this, the I don't know more, why isn't this part of the mainstream media? This is a huge event in all of the United States and all of Canada. You know, there's been large demonstrations all over in almost all the major cities in the United States to do different things. Why is that not being covered on a local national basis? You know, when I was in D. see the last time. I was at Bill McGibbon's Do the Math tour, and after I spoke at a rally, people were coming up to me going, oh my God, we didn't know all the stuff about natives, about what's going on in their land. Why can't you make this public? And why can't you get this to be covered by the media? We try, and mainstream media just does not even cover normal native issues in the United States unless there's a school shooting, such as in Red Lake,
right?
Or there's some big, massive something going wrong, someone mass, you know, killing or something. But that's the only time you hear about it, or unless they're talking about the poverty in South Dakota through, like, public radio and public TV and stuff like that, and their documentaries. You know, those are the times when you hear about stuff like that. You don't see the beauty in the round dances. You don't see the beauty in the drums. You don't see the beauty in a lot of different things. You know, like any other race, there's different
right.
things that happen.
There's negativity in all cultures.
Right.
And it seems like our mainstream media, if they only touch on the negative, if something, like you just said, if there's a shooting or whatnot. What's interesting, too, is our government. My understanding is Congress recently failed to pass the Violence Against Women Act, specifically because Republicans did not want tribal law enforcement to be able to prosecute non-Native sexual deviants. This is a constituent of the exploitation of Native women, similar to clean water. It's very sad, and I was telling someone the other day, I said, you know, think about this. As a woman, you know, you back in the day, it's changing somewhat now, but as a woman, you know, you're supposed to, you know, you get married, and back in the day, her property was not her own, and she couldn't control her own earnings, and once she was married, she became a legal non-entity to her husband. Her husband not only assumed her legal privileges, but duties, but certain rights to her property as well. And that was for privileged white women. Obviously, for Native women, black women, and any other woman of any other color, these women were unfortunate enough. If you were unfortunate enough to live in the United States, life was much worse for them. And it's still going on today. I see it every day because I'm affiliated with a lot of these Facebook pages. And I, honest to God, can say almost every day I see at least 4 or 5 faces of women that have been abducted or kidnapped or disappeared. And you don't hear about this on the news. It's not, you know, I guess because they weren't blonde and came from Beverly Hills or L.A. It doesn't matter. You know, it's just really, really sad. There are, Marty, I guess, a few news entities that do cover this that I have seen with my own eyes, and that's RT News. I've seen a few articles on Native American issues, and also Democracy Now! Has been covering a little bit of Idol No More, which is a good thing. But my understanding is even up in Canada, the network, the news network up there is – my understanding very similar to Fox News, as we laugh, very similar to Fox News, and they don't cover the protests that are going on, the hundreds of thousands of people that are rising up against this. What can people do? What could we just continue to keep posting like crazy on Facebook? Just keep continuing to get the word out?
Well, I think there's even some small things that I think you can even do that can to help. You know, when you go out and eat and you look at in the restaurant and it says Canadian walleye, Canadian whatever type of a fish, that's normally what they serve in most restaurants is Canadian walleye. Ask them where their fish is coming from, if it's a walleye type fish. If it says walleye, deny it. Say, you know, if it comes from Canada, no. There's just some things we can do to hurt them, I think, more financially. I mean, realistically, do I really want to buy Canadian walleye in a restaurant if there's no protection of the lakes?
No, thank you. I'll pass on that.
You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, if you hurt them, that's the only way, like any other like government, like our government or any other company, is that if you hurt them financially, then they might listen. That is the only way you're going to get them to listen. So, I mean, if it's you know, saying no to something simple like Canadian walleye, you know, that will get back, you know, and make sure you tell them why you're telling them no. You know, the restaurant owners will end up telling their suppliers, this is what I'm hearing. This is why they're not eating this. This is why I'm not ordering more fish from you. You know, those type of things do get back. It may seem very small and trivial, but that will work back up the ladder.
That's very good. So everyone who's listening tonight, you know, those of you who go out to dinner every now and then, you ask where your fish is coming from. And the best way to hurt them is through their pocketbook, because apparently money is their god, you know. That's how I see it. That's their god. They're fueled by money and control. Once again, those who are, you know, transfixed on race, you guys are completely missing the point here, because this is an issue globally. In fact, Marty, when you were talking about all the different I'm sitting here, I have this map of the middle of America, you know, and I was drawing lines as you were talking about where these pipelines are going, you know, from Cushing to Chicago, and I was drawing all these lines, and that is an incredible number of pipelines running through the United States. And I'm sure in time there's going to be one running from here to the West Coast as well, if they're trying to get one to run from Cushing to the East Coast. There's always going to be a West Coast. But I did want to throw your website out there again. We do have just about 7 more minutes if anyone wants to call in. I think everyone's in football mode right now. So, you know, I will say, I can't give up my hockey. I know that's kind of originated from Canada, but I can't boycott hockey because it's been on strike for way too long. So. Mm-hmm. Anything else we want to cover anymore? You said there's a rally going on January 23rd to the 25th. I did see something on supporting South Dakota reservations where there was a whole list of rallies going on. Would you say that's people's best bet to get informed?
Yeah, you know, my best guess, you know, when you start looking at Facebook and different places, there are Idle No More official websites or Facebook pages where they will show what they endorse and stuff like that. You know, there's flash mobs that show up almost every weekend still in northern Minnesota in different locations. You know, we've done it down at the state capitol. We've done it, too, at International Falls along the border and basically on all the reservations between here and there. You know, I think there's a lot of people, and in the ones that I've attended, they're not even all just native. There are a lot of non-native that understand and are saying this is just not right, what's going on up in Canada. And, you know, it's like if they suddenly closed the EPA and said, okay, companies, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. That's kind of what's happening here in Canada right now. You know, if you look at, you know, some of the things that have gone on even recently with nuclear power plants, with coal-fired power plants that are shutting down, fracking. You know, we haven't even covered fracking yet.
Oh, God, I know that's a whole nother... Yeah, I know. Fracking is a whole nother issue.
You know, that's a whole nother beast in itself, you know.
Yeah.
But you also have in SAGD or in situ type methods of getting oil out of the tar sands out of in Canada, much like fracking. In Utah, we have, you know, tar sands production or starting mining in Utah now. You know, so, I mean, we have lots and lots of different things. You have the water rights and everything else down in Arizona and New Mexico area, and you have the coal mines down there where you have people that are these people are being desecrated, their lands are being desecrated for coal, for coal-fired power plants, but yet they live in houses a quarter mile away or half mile away from these mines, and they have no electricity. You know, there's all these different things that are going on in this, in our United States, that are, it's just sickening to sit and watch and to fight. I mean, if we were in a fight, everything, you know, and there are people fighting different, all these different things, mountaintop removal in the east, you know, in the southeast, to even in Montana, down to Arizona, you have all these different things that are going on. So, you know, there's lots of things that people can do to get involved. You know, find something that you're passionate about that you just say, this is not right. You know, the biggest thing that I guess, I know we're getting close on time.
No worries,
but
no,
is that, you know, the Miniwachoni pipe, water pipeline. Miniwachoni means water is life. That is what that means translated. When you go out to Washington, D.C. and you look at their utility trucks, it says right on the door, water is life. Everybody knows that we need water to live. When you go into a grocery store and you buy a bottle of water, if you make a gallon of water, that gallon of water is going to probably pay more or be more costly than what you drink or than you pay at the pump for a gallon of gas. There's something wrong with our society right now in that our natural resources, even including oil, but mostly the water, are being sacrificed.
I agree, and Canada is almost dead last on their environmental policies, which at one time that never was until new government came in. But I am on a Facebook page right now called Idle No More. So anybody out there, you just punch in Idle No More, bring it up on Facebook, and it will enlighten you on everything that's going on, bring you up to speed on things. And I could do a whole nother hour with you, Marty, on fracking, because that's a whole other issue that I just am very passionate about. That too, I had brought it up several months ago about, you know, these little mini earthquakes that are happening in areas that shouldn't be getting earthquakes. You know, I live in California, so an occasional tremor is perfectly normal. But earthquakes in the Midlands, and you know, that shouldn't be happening. And I don't think people realize that may be a man-made earthquake. That's not Mother Earth creating those earthquakes. It's a big issue, and we have to do more as human beings. Just like I said earlier in my broadcast, this is not just a Native thing. This is not a white thing or a black thing or an Asian thing. We are all one. We all breathe air. We all need water to live. Therefore, we need to fight for the generations ahead of us, because I hate to be a pessimist, Marty, but I don't really see a bright future for our grandchildren and generations to come if this continues. We won't be able to live on this planet. Are you still with
me? No, I completely agree with you on that. And I think about it even for what are we going to do for electricity? What are we going to do for a lot of different things? You know, I've been asked several years ago, what do you think's going to happen? How do you foresee the future? And I said, I see the future is that we're going to go backwards. We're going to go back to the horse and buggy era because we're not going to have these fossil fuels. I see us going backwards more than I see us ever going forwards again.
Yeah, I see that too. And I've actually watched a lot of TV shows about the Hopi Nation talking about things like that, about how once this whole 2012 thing comes, you know, we may have to go back before we can move forward. And I think that's exactly what you just said is exactly what the Hopi Nation was talking about. Those horse and buggy days. I mean, could you imagine our society going back to that when, you know, they're so used to, I need my cell phone, where's my computer? And, it's like I told my kids the other day, what would you do if you were my age and you grew up in the 80s when there was no cell phone and there was no computer? I think the younger generation might be a little more lost than we were.
Exactly.
You know, because there's no technology. What am I going to do? How do you entertain yourself? Well, you know, use your imagination. I think that's what the younger generation has to learn, is to use your imagination more, as we did in the older days. But I really appreciate you coming on air with me tonight, Marty, and maybe one of these nights we'll do a show strictly on fracking, because that's a whole different animal, and I've done shows on that too, and I've even done the show about Peabody and coal down in Arizona. There's a lot of issues to tackle. I suggest everybody out there get involved, become awake, become aware, join some sites on Facebook if you can, and get a little more familiar with the situation going on, because it affects each and every one of us. We're all one on this planet. Marty, is there anything you'd like to add before I close?
I think that everyone, just going on what you just said, it is time for everybody, doesn't matter, not to be idle anymore. That's the best thing that I just got out of this whole thing with you, in what you just ended with there, was that everybody can no longer be idle. You need to get up and fight for something, or else there's not going to be anything to fight for.
That's right. We're not going anywhere, folks. We're not going to be silent anymore. We idle no more. Rev those engines. Let them hear you. Marty, thanks so much for joining me tonight. It was a real pleasure. I'd love to have you on again sometime in the near future. And thank you for being a great warrior for this planet.
Thank you, Linda. Thanks for all the listeners, too.
All right, Marty. Have a wonderful evening. And you folks out there, have a great evening. I will see you back here in 2 weeks on Cosmic Radio. Blessings to all. Be safe. Good night.